Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a production of AltCon Radio. The views and opinions on this show, no matter how poorly expressed by its host or guests, can in no way be construed to be those of AltCon Radio or just about anyone else. This show is not monitored or censored by the FCC, so there may be occasional language and lots of drinking. Any resemblance to a real radio show is purely incidental. You should not let your children or your parents or your children's parents listen to this show.
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh?
Members of the House and the Senate.
God, man, I'm not talking about getting blind drunk.
Serving up politics on the rocks with a splash of snark. It's time to get hammered with your host, Steve Hamilton.
A show-off. You're vulgar. You're inappropriate. You're unrefined. You're obnoxious. I think you're an asshole. Let me correct that. An immature asshole.
And Stevie J. West.
The coolest person I've ever met.
You complete me.
I feel really warm when I am around you.
My safe word will be whiskey. Louisiana draw, she take me to the river and we
do the whiskey while it walks out. Top off your drinks and stand by, because you're about to get hammered.
Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Getting Hammered. It's Friday night. I think it's Friday night. It is Friday night. That's why we're doing Getting Hammered. It's Friday night, March 27th. This month's almost over. It's the first week of spring. Actually, I think that was technically last Friday. And I am trying to desperately get my act together here. Something that I'm not very good at. For the last few weeks while we have done this show, the person actually comes to listen to, not me, has been noticeably absent. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, now welcome to the AltCon stage. I can't believe it. Just off her world tour. She's riding on a razor's edge. She's every Twitter boy's wet dream. She holds her own against the boys. She's got brilliant spare. Welcome, Stevie J. West. It's a one-way ticket to midnight. Call it heavy metal. High in the high, feel it just right. Call it heavy metal. Desperation on the red line. Call it heavy metal. Good evening, Stevie J. West.
Good evening.
How are you? Is this the real Stevie J. West? That's all I really want to know.
This is the real Stevie J. West, yes.
Woohoo!
And I am fantastic. I'm real and I'm spectacular.
Yes, you are. Yes, Stevie J. West is with us tonight, folks.
Sincere.
Yeah, I yeah, never mind.
Listen to you stumble over that.
No, I just, it's funny because I'm sitting here searching through clips for an applause, trying to find a good time to play them. You've had a lot going on. You've had goats and more goats and kids and not the goat kind, the evil kind.
Yeah, I don't have any goat kinds of kids yet, but they'll be here soon. My buck is doing his best to knock up both of the new ladies. So, we'll see.
What a guy.
It's Rancho Sexy around here.
Your unicorn?
Yeah. He's kind of a unicorn. Yeah, he only has one horn and it's very curly. So, he looks kind of gay, but he's not because he does try to get loving routinely, and he's routinely robust, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he'll get there. I've started playing porn music out in the past year to kind of get those girls in the mood, so we'll see if that works.
He's a little... This is like your goat song. This is Winston's song. Poor Winston. There, see, I had to have him reasonably. There you go. This is Winston's song.
Poor Winston. Yeah,
I just like a continuous loop. Yeah, you know. You can just, like, put, get a little speaker hanging around his collar there, you know, where usually they have a bell or something, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Just Bluetooth just right out there.
Yeah, you know, he turns the song on and, you know, tries to get down and dirty, and then they reject it. So he walks away, and then I start playing all by myself.
Yeah.
You know, one is the loneliest number.
Yeah. Here I go again on my own.
Right. All of those. Yeah. It's very sad.
Which was like, am I the only one that ever, when, like, the very first time ever heard that song went, oh, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think you probably are, because my mind didn't go there until you just said that.
Right, sure.
This must be a song you sing often to yourself.
Ouch! Oh, ow, my eye. Mm. Wow,
your
it's good
eye?
To have you back. I don't know. Welcome to the professional Getting Hammered Radio Show here on Ocon Radio, folks. Never the same when Stevie's not here. I actually get away with saying shit. And then there's somebody like Jody or Di at the other end of the phone going, I really don't know what to say to that.
I'm the only one who knows how to keep you in line.
Yes, this is very true. Mm. All right, we have a show. We do have a show tonight. Couple of major things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about German wings. And I was on Sounds Right with Jen and Scott earlier today and talked about it a little bit there. We'll give you an update on that. And we're going to have Jason DeWilkins from ATM Show on Twitter, according to me. He's going to be on here. He's over there on Payment now. Pain and misery and angst on Twitter. But my personal thing on it was, you know, a little bit of, you know, I kind of went full libertarian today. I went like full libertarian today. I was like almost ashamed
of
myself.
I thought that's what you said, but then I wanted to make sure because it's so horrifying.
I had to go back and try and refriend all my neocon buddies.
I don't even know you.
Yeah. No, they were like, we need a law.
I don't recognize you at all.
Yeah. Any law is a good law. But you know, we'll have him on. We'll talk about that. At any rate, let's see here. What else? Easter is next Sunday, not this Sunday.
True.
Yes. But I did today, yes, today, my dreams that come true once a year, came true today. I was walking through the Walmart when I came across, finally, I've been looking for these for weeks. Like, you know, everybody's had their Easter candy out for ages now. Like ever since Christmas or something, right? And finally, I came across the Almond Joy eggs.
I didn't even know such a thing existed.
Yes, they are twice as thick as a normal Almond Joy bar. All that coconutty and chocolatey goodness.
That sounds magical.
They are. They're pretty special. And I think they're fresher or something.
Okay.
I don't know, or I'm getting last year's batch for all I know, but they're tastier.
I went out
of the Walmart, got into my truck, and ate one on the way home. Package of 16 that I purchased.
I hope that you enjoyed it.
Poundage.
Wow.
Well, no, I mean, I might as well just say that on there.
Did you just say poundage?
Yes, yes.
That happened then? I didn't imagine that.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. What? Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, good. Yeah.
Winston? The song for the night. No, like pounds, right? I mean, it's like each one is probably a pound on the scale.
I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Poundage.
You're picking up what I'm putting down?
Picking up what you're putting down. Yeah, I sure am. I sure am.
Real quick, an update on the news. I don't know if you guys knew this. Amanda Knox and her boyfriend, whatever, Raphael, mm-hmm. or whatever his name is, they have been cleared once again by an Italian court. Now, I don't know what this means. They'll probably be tried again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it really means anything, does it?
I don't know. How many times can you be tried in an Italian court for the exact same crime? Oh, we didn't like that.
I think as many times as they want.
I guess so. Yeah.
They certainly haven't shown anything different. I mean, this was what, like time number 27 for her?
Yeah.
If I were her, I would just stay the fuck out of Italy. But, you know.
No, I think that's what she's doing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I think she should keep that up.
I've kind of questioned that as well. Anyway, if the Italian courts had found her guilty, I mean, in America, you can't be tried twice for the same crime. If the Italian courts had found her guilty, would they extradite her? Because technically that would be against our constitutional laws.
Yeah, so I that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. Huh.
Hmm.
My guess would be probably not. Because it's a bunch of bullshit. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we should ask a lawyer. I'm not one. I'm a farmer. I farm things.
Sure, you are. Let's see, on to other news. So, won't spend too much time on it. The next 15 minutes or so, talking about German wings. Obviously, this thing, you know, started earlier in the week with the tragic crashing of the German wings airliner. It was an Airbus A320. It may have been a 319. But, at any rate, when we first saw this, a lot of us were sitting there talking about, you know, what was going on. Me and my pilot buddies, some of you might have seen it out there on Twitter, but we were talking about what was going on with this incident, and nothing added up from the very beginning. There were too many things like the fact that – here's some background noise. There were too many things like consistencies with rate of descent, airspeed, they didn't send out any kind of a, you know, emergency signal. They didn't squawk 7,700 in their transponder. They didn't declare an emergency. All of that in 8.5 minutes or so prior to the hitting the ground. And, you know, this is kind of rehashing it for everyone, but I think very early on, most of the group sort of in the pilot community out there on Twitter were fairly certain that it was either a deliberate or probably, it had to almost be some major catastrophe that incapacitated the two pilots up front. We obviously didn't know there was only one pilot in there at the time. As more and more news came out, and by the way, this is something that was mentioned on the show earlier today, they are very quick to release this stuff over there, a lot quicker than we are here in the United States. Apparently over there, it's the thing, right? You know, as soon as you get the information, you go ahead and release it to the public. Here in the States, we tend to, you know, take forever and 10 years before we release anything. So maybe the speculation and conspiracy theories get even, you know, greater. But certainly, you know, as they released information, it became, you know, clearly evident that this was a deliberate action. In the end, what we know pretty much happened was that when the pilot got up to leave, to use the restroom or do whatever he was going to do, at this point, the co-pilot, Andreas Lubitz, or however you say his name, took the opportunity to essentially go to set the autopilot to 100 feet, disabled the door from being able to be opened from the exterior, and sat back. Didn't even say anything. Just sat there. breathing. Apparently, they could hear breathing.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he did. He was just sitting there with his arms crossed. Who knows?
That's crazy.
But he didn't, you know. And so, you know, as that, you know, came out more and more, it was certainly, you know, very clear that there was a disturbed individual who decided it was time to take down a plane and take 149 other people with him.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of days, a lot more information has come out. Now, I'll get to the conspiracy theory stuff here in just a second. But what it seems like now, by the way, the latest news on this, it was released just a few hours ago, was that his ex-girlfriend has basically said he left her a message that said, "I'm planning a heinous act that will be remembered forever."
Wow. I didn't hear this. Where have I been?
And this was just released a couple of hours ago. She apparently didn't know what this was about. And, you know, obviously, you know, she didn't think, oh, my ex-boyfriend, crazy as he may be, and apparently she was aware that he had a few mental issues. The airliner wasn't, apparently. Says he's going to plan a heinous act and didn't think maybe that might involve his job.
Wow.
Which warning. So I'm sure there's going to be some more, you know, questions on that, you know. But,
holy cow.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is obviously something he'd been thinking about, apparently had something to do with her. He tried to buy, like, I don't know what it was, Audi or BMW or something for her to try and win her back. And she apparently was having nothing of it.
That would work on me, just as a general FYI for all of the men out there. I will probably date you if you buy me a BMW. I'm not going to identify what that makes me. I'm just saying it could happen. But now you can continue.
But this guy, this is what's weird to me. So this guy has a history. He dropped out of flight training for a while, for like a year or something like that initially, 6 months or a year, to go into some sort of treatment. Nobody knows for what. They haven't released that yet. But then he came back, was cleared again. I don't know what their apparently not very strenuous.
I was going to say, what's the criteria for clarium? Holy cow.
Yeah. Conditions are over there for
sale. You might want to revise that.
We're good to go. So he came back from that and he said, okay, fine, you're golden to fly. But this guy apparently has been planning this for a while. Not only that, according to her, he sort of has talked about this sort of thing for a while. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry. If you were dating someone who said, I'm going to plan a heinous act, and they were an airline pilot, I just don't think that you'd be sitting there going, gosh, I wonder if he's going to rob a Krispy Kreme.
That's probably nothing. I'm not going to worry about that.
Yeah.
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 That seems.
I
like
bet he's
going to
throw a
good judgment. She could have thought that one through a little bit better.
Yeah. So obviously this came out, but one of the things obviously that went around in this, I want to address it again. I say again for the second time today, and that has to do with the conspiracies themselves. They're going to come out. They always do. People do reach for answers, and you know, try and understand things that they can't understand through whatever the normal facts are, right? So in this instance, you know, and I think we've been trained to do this, we automatically think, is there some sort of a Muslim connection? Is there some sort of a, you know, Islamic connection or something along those lines? There was some website out there. I don't even know what it was. Some German site. I don't know if it's new what it was. It was weird half the time. I tried to get to it and I couldn't. Went out there, if you went out there and looked at it, it was like the only site that had some mention of the fact that he had been attending a mosque for 6 months and he had these notes in his apartment and stuff like that. All of that, as far as I know, was taken purely from the fact that the very first day they released some information saying they found something suspicious in his apartment. There were some local, I say local, U.S., what I would normally consider fairly reliable, newsworthy sites that carried story as well. I was a little shocked that they did without having any more evidence, but I think we also live in this world where everybody wants to get the jump on it, right? They want to jump the gun, get the story out there.
Right.
And in this instance, you know, that's, you know, that's what they did, and we're completely wrong. There's absolutely no evidence at all that this guy, you know, and Pam Geller, bless her heart, I can't, you know, I know she's going to go down that line, but, you know, even the stuff that she had out there was certainly inaccurate, and I would think she would know Facebook better than to sign off on the fact that there was a Facebook page that was created after he died that was claiming to be him. And I'm sorry, but the ghost of Leavitt wasn't going to come back and make a Facebook page. And people were posting this all over Twitter. They really were. Look, it's a fact. Look, he was a Muslim. Oh, God. And I just was, and I finally had to stop because I was out there making enemies left and right. Because, you know, like the first time I was kind of like, you do realize this is a fake page, right? Oh, okay. You know, that's really not his page, right? You know, and after a little while, it was getting to the point where, you dumb.
Well, people are really desperate to believe that this was a terrorist act, even though it doesn't, the description of a terrorist act in really in any way, I don't think. I mean, nobody's claimed responsibility for it. None of the big terrorist groups have claimed responsibility. They heard nothing from the guy. There's no shouting, you know, as he's flying into a mountain. He flew into a mountain, not into a populated area. I mean, there's nothing about it that says. But people are really desperate for this to be terrorism, and I don't really know why it's so important to people that it be terrorism, but it is, and they're still clinging to it.
Well, I keep saying this. I said this earlier. You know, conspiracy theories really come about because people try and apply sort of an explanation to some sort of an event for which the simple truth, and accepting the simple truth, actually means they also have to accept the unknown. And nobody wants to accept the unknown. You don't like this idea of not being able to sort of single out or target or look to the future to be able to solve this particular issue because you can narrow it down to a specific thing.
Right.
When you look at the conspiracies around 9/11, I think a lot of those conspiracies came about because people said, I should have been able to count on my government to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And if our government's not able to protect us, that's pretty damn scary. And so I think the easier thing there is for people to go, well, of course the government could protect us. If they weren't protecting us, maybe they were in on it, right? I think that's really where these theories come from. People just have – you can't accept the simple because the simple forces you to accept the unknown.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And that's scary as hell to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is scary. I get it. Yeah.
But anyway, so we have this guy. I mean, what's going to change, you know, from this? I don't know. I know that over in Europe, they're changing some of the rules that are, you know, pilots have to have, you know, they're going to follow the American rules now. There have to be at least two people in the cockpit. If the pilot gets up and walks out, the co-pilot walks out, one of the flight attendants or something has to come sit in there. And I guess it's not been a rule over there to date, and they're gonna start doing that. But none of that, you know, really, I'm sure none of that makes, you know, any of these families feel any better. And I'm sure a lot of people are gonna be sitting there looking at not just this, how do we handle this in the cockpit business, but how do you end up with a guy that's a complete whack job in the air in the first place?
No kidding. Right.
I mean, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, hey, there was a lot of pilots, you know, that do some crazy stuff. You got to be insane sometimes to do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point. But, but no, I mean, there is this idea that this person that is sitting up there flying this multi-million-dollar plane and responsible for hundreds of lives is also a fairly balanced individual, maybe even balanced than the average person on the plane.
Yeah, you really want to assume that your pilot is a trustworthy human being. I think that's natural.
G.I. Jen is in the chat room, and she says she does have her tinfoil hat on, thank goodness.
Okay, good to know.
There is a never-ending supply of tinfoil hats out on Twitter. It's like you can just get your Twitter hat.
I 0% miss Twitter, just as a little interjection, because that is very true. Yes, I don't miss the tinfoil requirement of being on Twitter.
Let's try to see here. We have Jason DeWilkins is going to join us in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about the Indiana law. Just to switch up stories here a little bit. I don't know.
Are you going to be a gross libertarian again?
Is
that
going
to happen? Do I need to prepare myself?
I am. I should call up Sam, tell her to listen in just so that she can be all, slap happy about me. Actually, she and I talked a good bit today about this. I don't think she's very happy with me. But we do – there is a slight difference of opinion. Interestingly enough, I did find, quite a few people that were of a similar mindset but a different ideology around implementation. I think that's probably what Jason will bring when he comes on, and I speak for him totally, but based on, what he was tweeting today and what he was saying, which is why I asked him to come on the show. But, it's an interesting – story that certainly, can get people riled up pretty quick. Anyway, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, hopefully Jason will have called in, and we'll be back in just a minute, maybe. Well, hold on a second. this is so professional, isn't it?
Proud of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm all kinds of lost over here right this minute. Hey, Stevie, just feel free to talk to.
I'm kind of letting you hang on to.
Hey, thanks for being my co-host and jumping in to help me out.
I'm sorry. I've got 600 things going on around me that I'm trying to pay attention to while I'm trying to do this. I realize that, this is supposed to be my priority right now, but I'm distracted. I can describe what I'm watching out my window as you're trying to unfuck whatever situation is happening right now. It's really
all
quite
I
entertaining.
All I know is that while you're doing this show, you're not also trying to make soap.
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm watching the goats attack the dog. Well, actually, what's happening is the dog is attacking the goats, and the goats form like this little goat phalanx to defend themselves, and it's hilarious. Like, the dog will run up to them and try to jump on them and play and chew like a little puppy, and they don't appreciate that. So they get real close together and put their heads down like they're going to headbutt him and charge him, like, as this really organized goat unit of infantry. It's amazing to watch. And then they headbutt him across the yard, which is hilarious. And then, she whines and cries. And she never learns, though. She doesn't – she gets hurt. It's painful, but she doesn't stop doing it. So I'm watching that to make sure she doesn't actually get hurt. And I'm also laughing at her. But, no, I'm not making soap. Thank you. What are you doing, by the way? What's happening here?
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. You're
no. Oh, nothing. I'm set up. I was looking for some different things to get lined up for some commercials because I actually messed that part up. My unprofessionalism, which is rampantly evident on this show every week, and people should come to expect no less. However, tonight I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to play next. I know. I was looking for something. I was typing it wrong. I spelled the wrong thing. I couldn't find it. I was very flustered.
Oh no.
And you failed to jump in and
save
me.
I didn't have your back at all, did I?
Absolutely. I don't even get this. I don't know. I don't even understand.
I'm not even that sorry is the thing. Isn't that terrible?
No. I'm sitting here flailing around on the show, and you're talking about goats.
Yeah.
And phalanx.
Goats are amazing.
Whatever the hell else. Goat herding. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat phalanx? No, you haven't, and it's freaking outstanding. So, you
all
can...
Right.
Not be impressed by it, but it's pretty impressive.
No, I'm super impressed by it. But now we actually are going to take a break.
Oh, fabulous.
And when we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Jason DeWilkins. And we'll talk about Indiana.
All right. It's a deal.
Gary, Indiana. I'm not singing.
Okay.
Not for the show. We'll be back in a minute, folks.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef? Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
The alternative source of news, talk, and music for today's unconventional conservatives. This is AltCon Radio. Hey, welcome back. Yes, yes, more professionalism. That pregnant pause at the end of the song ended 15 seconds too soon. Hi, Stevie, how are you?
I thought that, because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, I thought that I lost the connection. I didn't realize we were just on dead air. So I'm texting you. I have no sound. Sorry.
Neither did anyone else.
We are on top of our game tonight, even more than usual.
I think we're out of sorts because we haven't done a show together in a while.
In
other words, that's a backhanded way of me blaming you.
Well, it's my fault, you know. It's going to continue to be my fault, and mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm a little bit sorry.
I'm sure. Joining us now is none other than the host of, according to me, a member of the famous Politainment, Jason DeWilkins, ATM_show over on Twitter. Good evening, Jason. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Stevie J. West is on the program the night that I'm here. Hammy, by the way, we go way back, and you are the best host and worst producer in internet radio.
Oh God, thanks. Wait a minute, I'm the worst producer. I'm the worst producer when I'm also trying to do a show.
Well, that's true.
What, you wanted to qualify that.
Yeah, but when you produce my show, you are much better. But anyway, that's a whole other story. thanks for having me, guys. Good for getting hammered.
Thanks for being on in your lost connection.
Well, that's true.
Just told me I'm the worst producer ever. This is really good for my show. This is really good for the station, by the way, that we have someone come on that left our station to go somewhere else. That tells you.
No, Hammy, you're the best. You, I love you. You know that. You're my favorite rhino I know.
I'm not a rhino. I'm a neo.
Well, same thing. Anyway, go ahead.
So, Governor Pence signed into law paper all over the place.
No, I was asked this earlier today. It's like, oh, hey, so what do you think of Indiana's law? I'm like, oh, you mean the same law that Idaho, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois. Let me just highlight and get that in. Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia. I mean, Jesus Christ, the list goes on and on. Oh, and by the way, the federal government has the same damn law as well. Yeah, that law? Yeah, real controversial, isn't it?
That one. Would that be the one that a certain Illinois state senator we know of voted for?
It's so crazy how incredibly hateful my state is, and yet, you know, we know there's 57 states, and 20 of them have this same damn law. The federal government has this same law. That's cray-cray, apparently, when Indiana does it, though. So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it has been fun to, you know, I put this on my Facebook page. As you know, I am I consider myself about 90% libertarian. I'm not full-fledged, as you know, because we've had our spirited debates, and I love you guys. But my take on this whole thing is the government should not write a law that says you can discriminate, quote-unquote. The government shouldn't write a law that says you have to serve everyone. The government shouldn't write a damn law, period, in regards to a way a business conducts themselves, and let the free market and let the people of your town decide if they want to support a business based on their business, based on the way they treat their customers, based on merit. It doesn't make any sense to me, and this is an argument I've had for quite some time, and most people think I'm out of my tree when I say it, but the reality is, as a man, I demand my membership to Curves immediately, because it's not fair that I am discriminated against because you want to have an all-woman gym that's not embracing diversity, and it's bullcrap, and I want it changed immediately. And I'm going to ask everyone boycott Curves unless they stop their hateful, man-hating ways. It's the same damn concept. And people go, well, no, that's not the same. It's the same idea. You know, Lane Bryant better start carrying petite clothes next week or I riot. You know, it's the same damn principle. A business can tell you to F off if they choose to. If it's a poor business decision, that's the same thing I said about Abercrombie & Fitch. You know, I'm a big guy. I couldn't wear an Abercrombie & Fitch t-shirt to save my life. It would fit my right leg, maybe. The point is that when there was a lot of pressure and arguments in regards to, so why doesn't Abercrombie & Fitch carry 2X shirts and so on and so forth, the owner of the company's like, hey, look, I want the cool kids to wear my clothes, and the cool kids don't look like that. So guess what? Kiss my ass. I'm not carrying that kind of clothing in my brands and in my stores. And guess what? I own it. So kiss my ass. I'm not doing anything about it. And in the end, you can be pissed. And in the end, you can be mad. But I, as an American, said, well, hey, good for him. There may be a lot of people who tell him to go pound sand and never do business in the store ever again. That's up to them. But this is the decision he made as a business. And so how far do we take this, really? And the fact that it is all turned into an anti-gay and anti-black legislation, which is really what most people are arguing that it is just nuts. And the fact that apparently Indiana is this revolutionary, crazy state that has decided to do this on a whim, and no one's ever heard of such a crazy law before, it's just, you just get your head out of your ass. What are you talking about?
So we have 20 states that have this law. We have 11 that have their Supreme Courts have recognized the one that, oh, by the way, Clinton signed, which is the same version of it. For those that don't know what the law was, and let me kind of read it here a little bit. It basically says prohibits a government entity from substantially burdening a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability, unless the government entity can demonstrate that the burden is in furtherance of a compelling government interest or the least restrictive means of furthering compelling government interest. It's the exact same text. The exact same text has been passed federally, passed in tons of other states. Look, to me, first of all, talking about just the angst against the law part of this, and that mostly comes from a group of people that are seeing this as, okay, they recognize that from primarily the liberal and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community that are basically saying they're going for little wins. Right, they've lost in the courts, they've lost in the court of public opinion, they've lost in everything else when it comes to same-sex marriage. So now they're going for little wins, and that's how they see it. So that's the prism through which they see this entire situation.
No, you're right, and it's. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Harry.
But when it really comes down to it, it's a temporary thing. You've got the NCAA out there going, they're not going to have the Final Four. I love the one group, I can't remember who it was, that said that they weren't going to have their convention there anymore, even though they do have their convention scheduled through 2020. But after that, damn it, they're going to reach.
Yes. We're okay with Indiana pressing gays for 5 more years. But I'll tell you what, after that, we're out.
Yeah, as soon as it calms down, we're gonna be back in Indiana. There's a couple of things. So I went out there and I was taunting people today on Twitter because I was saying, where are the libertarians that are out there screaming bloody murder about the fact that the government should be telling any business who they can serve and who they can't? Now, I grew up down in the South, okay, so I remember the Woolworths and the whatever down there that you couldn't sit at the counter and whatever else if you were black. By the way, I never considered this to be anything of a race thing. I didn't consider anything of any sort other than someone stepping back and saying, doesn't it make sense that a business is allowed to determine who they serve, who they want to serve? And, oh, by the way, folks, I'm all in favor of people boycotting them, of people, blogging about them, of people protesting them, of walking out in front and going, look at this set of bigots back here, because they won't serve, big and tall radio hosts like J.C. Wilkins. this is my little bug. That's their right to be bigoted and mean and whatever else, or they won't serve guys at the gym or whatever. Just like we can go out and protest, gyms that go over, right, and have scary females in the women's restroom. But I know that your take on it is there shouldn't be a law in the first place. And I think that would be great. I'd love it if we could go back and simply say there's nothing in the Constitution which seems to provide government an interest in controlling private business, private companies, as who they serve and who they don't. It's not even anything compelling within the Civil Rights Act or anything that seems to apply directly to private companies. I understand, by the way, and I'm not extending this either, certainly not to government agencies, I'm certainly not extending it to things like power companies where, you don't want the power company going, you don't serve electricity to keys, right? It's not that, those are regulated industries. We're talking about a cake shop. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, that one company out in Oregon that had their, a really loud bike. I don't know if that's Jason. I think that maybe you. Jason's kind of like he's just holding paper.
Sorry, you need to hurry up with this call.
No, I'm here.
and he's probably talking notes as well. The cake shop that was out there in Oregon, and they're getting hit with anywhere from a $75,000 to $150,000 fine potentially. They've had to shut down their business. Now, they may have had to shut down their business just due to pure protest, which was fine if that's what happens, basically. But they've had to, you know, they had to shut down their business. They're going to get fined with this stuff and everything else. And so you have states like Indiana that have stepped in and said, no, we don't want this to happen because we don't think it's right.
Sure.
Jason, to your point, whether or not there should be a law, and my question is this, and I'll go back to my neocon, and I'm going to play big-time libertarian at this point. Shouldn't laws be put in place to protect rights? I mean, if we're going to write a law, shouldn't it be a right that a law that says you have the right to not participate, you have the right to not have government interference? I mean, shouldn't that where we should have laws in the first place?
Well, but I think that, I mean, we hold a lot of truths to be self-evident when in regards to what rights are. I mean, we're endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights. And I don't think you have to write laws to remind people you have rights, at least that's my opinion. And I think that people are like, okay, well, fine. Ideally, we shouldn't, you know, have to have a law. You're right. I mean, in principle, it makes sense to not have a law. But, you know, we already have laws, so we may as well make some good laws. And, I mean, maybe this is a stretch here, but it's the same argument for deportation of illegals. Well, I mean, what are you going to do, send them all back? You can't do that. So you got to, you know, come up with some sort of, you know, compromise here. I mean, yeah, granted, we should have enforced the law, and probably we should have, you know, kicked illegals out 30 years ago. We didn't, but shit, what are you going to do now, right? It's like Obamacare. You have the GOP on the right who are like, look, we can't repeal Obamacare. That's crazy. Let's be honest at this point. We can't repeal it. We're just going to make it better. Sure you are. So, I mean, you know, where do you draw the line of going, yeah, you know, in a perfect world, Obamacare wouldn't exist. In a perfect world, we would enforce immigration laws. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have laws that would protect rights. But since we have those laws, let's just make more stupid-ass laws. No.
Well,
that's not the solution.
This is where I do kind of come in on this one a little bit. We have far more judicial activism now. In other words, interpretation. In other words, there's no law. I doubt very seriously that there's a law. I'd have to look at it. I doubt very seriously there's a law in Indiana that says if you have a private company, you have absolutely no rights left, and the government can tell you whatever you're going to do with it, right? I doubt there's a law like that. However, there is an awful lot of judicial interpretation or judicial activism that takes place. And to me, when you have a law that's been put on the books or been signed into law now that basically says you're kind of countermanding that, you're saying we're stopping the courts from interpreting to their own minds what law is or setting precedent or making law, which it seems to, you know, kind of happen. By laying down, no, the government can't interfere in these private companies. I would see any, and I guess this is maybe where you and I would diverge a little bit on our opinion here, but I would see any law that comes that's put in place that says we're reinforcing your rights as far better than a law that comes in and says now you can't do something.
Well, no, I don't think we're that split on that. I mean, again, I'm certainly not in favor of more and more and more and more laws, but I would be more in favor of a law that at least says, look, you can't put a company out of business because they refuse to bake a cake for you. You know, so that I agree with. I'm not, you know, again, it's a law that is not unique to Indiana. But, you know, again, I guess the overall thoughts that I would have, it's the same thing I said about gay marriage, which is very controversial, and well, not necessarily very controversial, but I mean, you know, you have the left who clearly supports it. You have a lot of your you know, Christian conservative right who are certainly against it. Me, you know, my thoughts on the whole thing are, and again, this is where people go, well, yeah, but there's nothing you can do about it now. I mean, states have been observing marriage for how long? First of all, I think it's a states' right issue, but second of all, if the government wasn't involved in your marriage in the first place, then who the hell would care? See, that's the problem is when you start talking about married couples and taxes and death taxes and the ability to assume, fortunes or assume, things that are unclaimed because, you know, if it's not going to a family member, it's got to go to the government, don't you know? It's those kind of things that require government to be involved with marriage in the first place. And so because they have a role in marriage, then you're going to have people want to determine if it's something that is between a man or a woman, or you can marry a goat, or you can marry whatever the hell you want to. The bottom line is that if they weren't involved with marriage in the first place, then who the hell cares? There are plenty of churches all throughout the world and all throughout this country, quite frankly, that would marry anybody if they wanted to do so and if you wanted them to do so. There are churches who will tell you to go to hell. They're not doing that. But again, it's again, less laws, not more laws. And even though this is a law by definition, it's not a law that's unique to Indiana. It's also not a law that is new. For God's sake, we've had this for 20-plus years, at least at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. I don't want to go off into the same-sex marriage thing specifically itself, so we can leave that alone and talk in general. Do you see, and I know you're fairly libertarian. I don't think you're big old wacko.
No.
You know,
you're a little wacko.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. As a libertarian, do you and you did mention something about states' rights? Do you feel that there is a place for society within a state, let's say within the state, city, town, neighborhood, whatever it is, that can determine that there's a moral baseline that upon which they base their or create laws or whatever else? That, you know, is that something you believe is constitutional at all, in the least?
That's a good question, Hammy. Actually, I've never really thought of it in that sense. I would say that as a person who, you know, leans definitely more libertarian, I would say that I usually don't break it down to, if we're being constitutionalists here, you know, the powers that are not in the Constitution that belong to the federal government belong to the states, not to a frickin' neighborhood. So, I would default to states' rights in that situation. And, you don't have the right to pick and choose what laws of the state you don't want to abide by. I don't think that would be right by any means.
I've traditionally stopped at the state level, and I would say that even though I am, yes, I'm very much a neoconservative, I'm also from the South. so I do recognize, you know, that there is this imperative that was put in the Constitution that does go back and understands, even to a greater degree at that point in time, that you had an individual group of entities that came together for the common good,
sure,
as applied to them as a group, that where there was a group interest, right? A group interest currency and that sort of stuff.
Right. It's just looking at things overall. It still happens in this country. You know, there are how many businesses have moved out of California and out of Illinois to go to more tax safe havens like Texas and Tennessee and even Indiana? There's a lot of businesses who have left Chicago or, you know, the south side part of the city of Chicago to move to Indiana, which is 20, 30 miles northwest, you know, east. Northwest Indiana is, you know, 20, 30 miles from Illinois, and a lot of businesses there. Why not? Hell, I can move. All my employees will stay the same. That's fine with me. Oh, and I'll just pay a lot less tax. And you also see individuals who will do that for career opportunities, for, marijuana legalization, for God's sake, has made people move from one state to the next. So you still have, people picking and choosing that, look, my state sucks. I'm leaving. I'm going to this one. I mean, that's what it is, and I think that's always what the intent was. You're still part of the United States. You're still part of our country. But if you don't believe or are okay with what a state does or how a state conducts themselves or how they run themselves, you can get the hell out.
Right. Yeah. No, I think
that's pretty straightforward.
I'll be very honest with you, and this is where I kind of get up against the wall with some of the bigger L's. And it's from that standpoint of saying, you know, there was a thing a few years ago. I think it was when sort of the whole sort of libertarian movement was really gaining a little bit of strength, coming in on the, you know, sort of the back end of the Tea Party and that kind of stuff, where what you heard was kind of a common thing was get the federal government out of it, leave it up to the states. But then as soon as you went to them and said, well, okay, fine, the states are passing amendments now that are saying they don't want same-sex marriage, or states are restricting abortion rights, or states are, you know, setting XYZ kinds of laws. And then all of a sudden it became, well, no, that's not really the state's right to do that either. And I that's where I went, oh, wait a minute. You can't claim states' rights and then claim states don't have a right. Now, what I super respect, what I have absolutely no problem with, is a disagreement as to what the state does. And certainly the state, and it's been, you know, certainly held in court that the Bill of Rights obviously sort of transcends just the national, the federal. It applies to the states. Therefore, the Constitution itself directly applies to the states, and you can't go against that. And that's always going to bring up this thing of whether or not what you're doing as a state is constitutional. But within that realm, there is a point where we have to go. There is some legislative activity that can be taken on the part of or representing the people towards the interests that are important to them. And I think my biggest concern, my biggest fear is that most Americans have gotten away from this idea that there is any level of personal interest on the parts of the states anymore. And so it's do away with all of it, right? It's do away with the federal government. It's do away with the state governments even, right? It's if I can't have just my personal what I want, then do away with all of it. And then I think get rid of the Constitution, whatever else. It's just no laws from the states, no laws from the federal government, et cetera. And it's a
Well, I can say this. We are about a half hour into a conversation. The people who are listening to this program don't really care what we say. Stevie J. West has been silent for almost 30 minutes. I'm guessing 95% of the listeners have shut it off by now based on the fact that they haven't heard from her in a half hour. So I would like to know her thoughts on this, and maybe if we could tweet out that Stevie's talking, we'll get more listeners to the program. So go ahead, Stevie.
Wow. I feel like you were going to ask me for a favor later now that you said all those
things. No, not at all. I want goat soap. That's what I want.
All right, I'll send you some goat soap.
You should send me some goat soap. I saw that on Facebook, and I just wanted to say, what in the hell does that even mean? But I left it alone, and it's
very simple. It means I milk a goat, and then I make soap out of their milk.
That has to be recorded. Please.
I don't send it to gay people because I don't support gay people taking showers.
Well, then you can't send it to me, girl. No, I'm just kidding. But but what are your thoughts on this, Stevie?
My thoughts on this are I stand that it's frustrating for a lot of libertarians, or probably every libertarian, that, you know, more laws, more laws, more laws. I get that argument. I understand it. My question is, what is the alternative then? Because we have a problem to solve. We have these things happening all over the place where not only are businesses being sued, but now churches are starting to be sued by people who want their gay wedding in a certain church with flowers from a certain florist and pictures from a certain photographer and whatever, and these people are saying, no, we're not going to do it. They're getting sued, and they're getting put out of business, and they're getting these ridiculous fines, and they're going bankrupt, and their lives are, and their businesses are done, and they have to make goat soap to survive. What do we do about that?
Well, no, that's fair. I will admit that, you know, I don't want to be waffling here, but you know, that is an issue. You're absolutely right. And I guess the problem is we've created such a lawsuit happy society that leads to it also. Is, you know, if I go to a place that I think gives me crappy service or is rude to me or to my wife or to my kids or my friends or whomever, I'm out. And guess what?
Right.
I'm going to tell every person I know that your establishment sucks and no one should do business at your place. And then when you finally go out of business, I laugh my balls off as you lock the door for the final time. Like, that's how it should be done. So I understand
that's what normal people do, but we're not dealing with normal people.
That's fair. But at the same time,
a lot of cases we're dealing with people who are deliberately targeting places they know are going to refuse them just so they can shut them down.
And I think the reason why there is a need for this law overall is exactly that, which is we don't want businesses or we don't want people in our state to be sued and lose everything they have over refusing service of a particular customer. And again, I mean, where do you draw the line? I guess that's what bothers me so bad about it. I know we joke about the whole curves thing and ha-ha, funny, funny, But why does this just have to be a gay-straight issue? That's all anyone seems to care about. If we really want to make it a bigger issue and look at it across the board, then I have every right, if a gay couple is refused to have a wedding cake baked for them, then I have every right to take curves to court. I tried to sign up there, and they said I couldn't. And it's not fair, because this is the closest gym to me. I love this gym, and it hurts my feelings that they won't allow me to be in it. And
maybe people feel like less of a person.
Exactly. And, of course, it's nonsense, but it's really not. And so,
no, it's really not. The problem is there are certain groups that people are perfectly okay to have them be discriminated against. That would be men. Very much. I mean, men would be at the top of the list. White men even more. White Christian men even more. And white Christian conservatives.
Right. Well, actually, and what I said, actually, on a side note, you're exactly right, Stevie, I said, you know, they should change the Washington Redskins to their Washington Fat White Christians, because then no one would be offended by any of it. They'd be like, oh, well, shit, you can say whatever you want about those people. That's fine.
I don't know if any opposing teams would be intimidated by that name. But
they wouldn't be. But
you
could call them that and be like, oh, they're okay. Because, I mean, really, the free people that are fair game and conservatives, fat white Christian conservatives would be better. Because the four groups that are fair game to this entire country right now are Christians, whites, conservatives, and fat people. You could say whatever you want about any of those.
And men.
Okay, let's, fine. The Washington fat white Christian conservative men. There we go.
That strips off the tongue so nicely, too.
It does. It's nice. But, if you know, realistically, you could say whatever you want about any of those. People are like, screw them. You know, who cares? They're conservative. Well, tough crap. I don't care.
None of those people are allowed to complain or be upset or even point out the fact that they're being discriminated against, because people will come back with, you can't be discriminated against when you are the oppressor, and plus you've been the oppressor for hundreds of years, and so you deserve it anyway.
Right, exactly. That's what.
Not
well,
only
you know,
are they perfect,
you're getting your just desserts now. How does it feel?
I'm what?
No, you're getting what you deserve now. How does it feel?
That's
the motive.
Right.
Hey,
exactly.
I've got to interrupt here for just a second. I just want you guys to know that Titan in the chat room just said, "Where the heck is Hammy?"
See, everybody loves you.
See, no, I just said for a brief moment, Hammy.
I want you to remember this moment when somebody asked for you and wanted to know why you weren't speaking
up.
I want you to write it down.
Titan, I apologize. I'm sorry, Titan. You're right. I took Hammy away from you for about a 5-minute period, and that was wrong with me. And
hey, you know what? Do you know what I still have? I still have in my lineup here. I didn't know I still have this stuff. I don't know. I don't even know what this is. I should play this.
Hey guys, it's Jason from According to Me, asking you to join me every Thursday night here on AltCon Radio. You get to spend 90 minutes with a conservative smart ass.
Oops.
Wow.
Hey, what the?
Yeah, but he left us.
Oh, stop! Here we go. I come back every Christmas.
Christmas. I know. Well, actually, yeah, twice a year. This is like church.
Yeah, I come back. It's the quarterly meeting. And hey, this is the first time I've been me on the show in God knows how long. Let's just be real.
That's the thing. Yeah, maybe he left us because we used him for his voices all the time. Yeah.
So that's speaking of voices, by the way, not to plug our website, but right now, the second round of the Tournament of Douche is going on politicainment.net. And, you know, just like the NCAA tournament, you can pick the winners that go on to the next round in the Tournament of Douche. We have the Summers Eve region and the Massengill region. And right now, we got some heated up battles that you really should check out. So, you know, it's
amazing.
Yeah, Barack Obama is the number one seed. It shouldn't surprise anybody, but, you know, he's got some competition. You have Al Gore in the same region. Al Gore versus Barack Obama in the not-so-fresh Final Four. Yeah, I'm just saying, you decide.
Not-so-fresh feeling.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, we're going to take a break here in a minute. Let Jason get back to trying to get into curbs. And
I will. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, so well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Give us the give us all the intro. Where can people find you? Where can they find your show?
Sure. You can be my ATM follower on Twitter at ATM_show, ATM_SHOW for Stevie West. also, you can you go to facebook.com/recordingtomeshow. We actually have a new home starting Wednesday. It's the K98 Talk. So actually, I will be following Bunny now. I used to be the shitty opening band for PolitiBunny on Thursday nights. Now I'm the closing act. I'm like the shitty closing band. It's like everyone shows up.
You guys have gone over to K98 Talk now.
That's correct, yeah. So our good friend TCC Grouchy is there, and Rick Robinson and all that good stuff. So we're excited about that. And, of course, you can find us on politentainment.net, the website. Politentainment.net, I'm not spelling it because I can't spell it quickly without sounding like an idiot. And also check out the just if you're on SoundCloud or iTunes, just type in Politainment. I'll just do it, PolitainMent, and you can get all of our podcasts. And again, a lot of the stuff, and you guys know this if you've heard my show before, you know, a lot of the bits and comedy stuff and the stupid ass things I do are also on the SoundCloud and podcast page too, so you can check those out, download those, share those with friends and all that good stuff.
By the way, folks, if you know of an internet station that we haven't heard of or you're thinking of starting one, give it 3 months and Jason and the rest of that crowd will probably end up on there.
Put those in the chat. Everybody put those in the chat room. I'm like a hermit crab. You know? So there you go.
You guys change stations more often than I change my underwear.
Well, that's bad because it's still only like every 3 months, and that's Tammy, that's not good. Anyway, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Folks, we'll be back in a couple of shakes. See you in a minute.
Now, let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay, there is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said, there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
And welcome back for the last segment of Getting Hammered. It is March 27th, 2015. I'm all choked up. I am joined once again by the lovely, the beautiful Stevie J. West. Good evening again, Stevie.
Hey, good evening once again.
Go ahead.
Wasn't trying to say something. I have a sick child next to me who coughed, which is what you heard.
All right, tell them to stop that.
I know.
It's not professional.
I should make him sleep in the barn.
It's not professional enough for the show.
I know. Yeah, we really do hold ourselves to a high standard around here. I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, Jen asked when I was coming back to the show. speaking of which, just to kind of make a general announcement here to the seven people that are listening, we are actually going to be taking a break from Getting Hammered for a few weeks. Stevie has some stuff going on, but we're also changing our format. So when we come back, which will probably be, I don't know, a month or so from now, we will no longer be on Blog Talk Radio. So we're working on a Spreaker setup right now. I'm trying to work out some of the technicals around. For you folks that don't know, there's a love-hate relationship with Blog Talk Radio. BTR gives you actually a pretty awesome interface to work with. And from the standpoint of they make it really dumb simple. But beyond that, they give you – if you can find stuff in there, if you can find your clips and things you want to play. But beyond that, what they do is they handle calls for you, and that's the biggest plus to BTR. People can call in. They give you a phone number. People can call in on that number. People can Skype in if they want to. You can mute. You can, you know, hang people up. You can, you know, talk in private with certain individuals at different times. They handle all that technology for you, which is actually a lot more difficult to do on most of those other platforms like Spreaker or any of the others that are out there. You end up having to run a couple of different versions of Skype at the same time and other stuff like that in order for people to be able to call in. And Skype actually in and of itself doesn't even give you the direct ability to mute someone. So it's a little bit more stuff to get a handle on, but want to go ahead and get it set up so that it's going to be through an alt-com page. You'll go just right there. Any of the live shows will play. You won't have to go to a different link ever. We'll archive all the shows on there, and they'll be available there and probably available via SoundCloud as well. So we're going there, and we'll probably be there. We'll carry on the other shows, Virginia Crudas, Stovetop Politics, as well as the Red Wine on Wednesday nights. We'll carry on those other shows until we switch the format over. But the format for when we come back after this break for Getting Hammered in a few weeks, we'll come back to the new format on which will just be over on Alcon Radio by itself, and it'll be through Spreaker. So the one good thing to say about Spreaker is that, A, I believe they have less technical issues. They have better throughput, higher bit rate, and the sound is supposed to be better. I think it is better. I've heard quite a few shows over there. And it's a little bit easier for us to kind of move those shows around as well and replay the tracks and stuff. So there's ups and downs to both of them. I got to work out some of the technical stuff, but that's the plan. So we won't be having Getting Hammered next Friday night or for the next few Friday nights after that. But when we come back, we'll have a brand new fancy platform with a brand new fancy chat as well, because I really actually do hate the chat that we have here.
It's all going to be very brand new and very fancy is really the bottom line.
Yes, everyone that is currently guest XYZ whatever, yeah, you won't be able to be that on our chat. You'll actually have to reveal who you are. The shame that everyone will know it's you actually listening to our show. I don't know how many people actually just come in and just listen to me and go, oh, I'm not even going to log in or whatever, but or that just go, well, I can't. I have spoken with people that have talked about the difficulty in logging in here, and perhaps they don't want to log in via Facebook or Twitter or something along those lines. We'll have that available, and we'll have regular login as well if you want to log in. So we'll get all that stuff set up and be back in a few weeks with that.
There we go.
And that's about all I have to say about that.
That was a good announcement. Nice work on that.
That's all I got to say about that. Forrest Gump, in case you didn't get it.
I got it.
I
don't know that we've ever done a show in 2.5 years where you haven't used the Forrest Gump voice at least once.
R1Evo asks, no more guests. Yes, we will have guests. Well, we'll have guests if I can wrangle them. I usually have to get Stevie to invite the guests, because if I invite them, they're like, no. And Stevie invites them and promises that I won't be on the show, and then they show up there, and then they never talk to us again.
You
ever notice we don't have repeat guests? Yeah.
So full of it. Lies. You sit upon a throne of lies right now.
I do sit upon a throne of lies. At any rate, let's see. Oh, I see what he's saying. Oh, okay. So no more like guest 7119. No, no, we won't have those anymore. We won't be able to, you know, sit there and thank them and go, guest 7528, we really appreciate you being here tonight.
Damn, because that's my favorite funny joke.
The interesting thing about them is that we say that stuff and we kind of joke around with them, but they have no clue who they are. They can't, I think for the most part, you can't see that that's who you are if you come in as a guest. You can't say, I'm this person, as far as I know, because they can't write anything anyway.
Oh, is that, see, I don't know any of this information. That's, huh, well, yeah, I'm not going to miss anything about that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure.
Any rate, so what are you going to be doing with your break, with your spring vacation while you're not doing Friday night shows, Stevie?
Well, I'll be selling some Boy Scout popcorn, so that's going to be pretty exciting. Let's see. Oh, I'm keeping an eye on my sick baby. What else am I doing? I'm going to be doing a lot of goat milking, a lot of soap making. I am, because I hate myself just this much, apparently, having 45 kindergartners come to my house for a field trip in a couple of weeks. So not dreading that at all. And that's pretty much my whole story. I have collected over the last several months more and more and more and more farm animals. So I'm busy all the time, being the farmer in the dell, essentially, is really what we're doing.
Right. Good. Farmer in the dell. Farmer in, not the dell.
Well, but, you know, that's the song, so that's what I say. Yeah. I wake up every morning humming the Green Acres theme song.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what I do now, yeah.
You have failed to mention you have chickens now.
I have chickens and goats and pigs and a mini horse and the horses. So now when people ask me what I do, it's not honest to say I'm a horse trainer anymore, because I'm a horse trainer, but now I have all this other shit going on all the time. I feel like I need to buy a straw hat and overalls, because I've morphed from raising Arabian horses into like this full-fledged farm thing, because I'm also going to start growing hay out here. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm going to get a combine and shit. Plow. Probably not. I'm just going to pay a real farmer to do that for me. But, I mean, it's gotten out of hand. But I like it. It's gotten out of hand in a good way. Until I let my kids name the animals, because I let my daughter name the pigs. So now I have two pigs named Waffles and Pickles. But other than that, it's good.
Are there words to this song?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there they are.
Living is the life for me. Land spreading out to far.
Oh, God.
Keep Manhattan. That countryside.
I don't really remember.
Joey?
The last time I ever saw the show. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I probably haven't seen the show in 30 years.
That was a great show.
That's George.
Which one are you?
Why don't you decide?
Who was the guy? Oh man, who was the one that was like, God, what was his name? He was the
I don't remember.
The mayor or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen the show in 100 years. I don't remember, but I do remember liking it a lot.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Once again, you've wasted an hour, and it looks at this point only 21 minutes of your life. You will never be able to get it back, but we do thank you for joining us and wasting it with us, getting hammered on a Friday night with none other than Stevie J. West and Steve Hamilton. Stevie, where can folks find you?
At Green Acres.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the only, and it's very isolated and remote, and I'm not telling you how to get here, so mostly you can't find me. That's pretty much what we're dealing with. If you don't already know, you're not going to do it.
E2Pilot on Twitter. I'm over on Facebook at Stephen Hamilton, and also follow us, Alcon Radio on Twitter, look for Monday night. We've got Virginia Cruda, who's going to be here for Stovetop Politics. This Wednesday night, we'll have the Red Wine Show with Di and Jody, and we will be back in a few weeks with a new format and a new Getting Hammered. Folks, thanks a lot for joining us, and we will see you in a month or so. All right?
Good night.